Welcome to Vox Talks, a series of audio interviews with leading economists from around the world. My name is Ramesh Vaitalingam, and today's interview is with Philippe Martin, who is professor at the University of Paris 1 and the Paris School of Economics. Philippe and I met at the European Economic Association's annual congress in Budapest in August 2007, where he had organized a session on the economics of war and himself presented a paper on civil war. We spoke about his research program on the relationship between trade and war.
So this is a research area where we started with Thierry Meyer and Mathias Teuning. And we started with this question about what is the effect of globalization on the risk of wars, both wars between countries and inside countries. So the paper I presented here was on civil wars. But more generally, we want to ask this question, how much trade affects the risk of wars. And in fact, at the beginning of the 90s, if you remember, many observers were saying, you know, with democratization, with the end of the Cold War, and with globalization, this is maybe the end of history in the sense of violent history, that more trade between countries is going to lead to more peace between countries. And that's unfortunately not what we've seen during the 90s and the beginning of this century. So we wanted to go back and look at the evidence of what is the effect of more trade between countries on the risk of violence. And what we found is for wars between countries is that indeed the intuition that if two countries trade more, they're going to have less war in the future because it's costly. It destroys some trade, and so it's like a cost of doing war. Indeed, when you look at bilateral trade, indeed, it predicts that you're going to have less wars. So that's not very surprising, and that's, in some sense, something good for globalization. However, when you look at what is the effect of multilateral trade openness on the risk of wars, then you see that, in fact, countries which are more open to the rest of the world actually have a higher risk of wars with other countries. And the intuition, the reason why you get this bit controversial result, is that when countries are more open to the rest of the world, it's like an insurance for them. If they do a lot of trade with many other countries, that means that in some sense they are less dependent, economically dependent, on the other countries with which they may have a conflict and with which they may go to war in the future. So in fact, it decreases the cost of bilateral war. So bilateral trade is bringing more peace, but multilateral trade openness, the fact that you're open to many other countries than the country with which you may have a conflict and a war, actually increases the risk of a bilateral war. So globalization actually has an ambiguous effect on the probability of wars, and that may explain why during the 90s we had a lot of increase in the trade, but not much in terms of more peaceful relations between countries. That these two effects, more or less compensated each other. So then we went a little bit further, and we looked also at another type of violence, which is very important, which is civil wars. Okay, so and this is especially important for poor countries, obviously. And here also we find some contradictory effects on civil wars when countries open to trade. On the one hand, you have something which brings more peace inside countries, so lowers the risk of a civil war. And that's what we call a deterrence effect, meaning that if you're very open to the rest of the world, if you have a risk of a civil war, which is going to destroy a lot of trade, we actually find, we check that indeed when you have a civil war, it destroys trade. And it actually destroys a lot of trade for a very long time. We find that actually trade goes down relative to what it should be, what it is predicted by distance between countries, et cetera, for 25 years. So after 25 years of a civil war, you still see the effect that trade is lower than it should be. So there's a lot of destruction of trade, meaning there's a high cost of civil war. And therefore, the more open you are to the rest of the world, the higher the cost for everybody, both think of the rebels and the government inside the country, or the two regions, if there are two regions inside the country that go to war, then the cost of going to a civil war is higher. If the cost of civil war is higher, then quite logically, at least in an economic logic, you should see less civil wars. And indeed, that's what we find. However, trade has also another impact, is that also it has this insurance impact, that if two regions are very open to the rest of the world, relatively their bilateral dependence is going to be small. So they're going to trade less with each other, okay, these two regions or two groups, many reasons why you have civil wars, but think of two regions maybe as the easiest example. And that means that, in fact, when they go to war with each other, these two groups or two regions, then in fact the cost, the economic cost, is not too much, because the internal trade between the two regions is in fact substituted, is replaced by trade with the rest of the world. And of course also the trade with the rest of the world may also be a mean to finance rebellion, and again it goes in the same direction. So you have these two effects, contradictory effects, a deterrence effect and an insurance effect. And we indeed find in the data, we have a lot of data on civil wars, that you have these two effects, a positive one and a negative one, which we identify by looking at the most severe civil wars. The most severe ones are the ones that, of course, destroy the most trade, and that's where we find the negative impact of openness on the risk of civil war. But the small wars, meaning those for which not too much trade is destroyed, the insurance effect dominates. And in this case, we find a positive impact of openness, trade openness, on the risk of civil war. So again, we find an ambiguous effect of globalization on the risk of those wars. So in some sense, what we're trying to do is, or to say, the message is that globalization has this ambiguous effect on violence, that maybe we certainly were too optimistic at the beginning of the 90s, where we were thinking democratization, globalization, et cetera, is going to be all good in terms of reducing violence in the world. But that's not what we find. And in fact, it's a much more ambiguous effect. And in fact, in this session, there was also a paper by Paul Collier, who was showing, with a very good specialist of civil wars, especially in poor countries in Africa, and who was finding that democratization has a bit of an ambiguous effect also on the risk of civil war. So all these research on civil wars show that the things that we take for granted that are going to reduce the risk of civil wars are not that obvious, actually.
So what kind of policy implications would you take from this, Philippe? I mean, for a country that is coming out of a civil war, or it's coming out of a war with another country, what kind of trade policy might you encourage it to pursue? I mean, it sounds like a bilateral trade policy with a neighbour might actually be more effective in reducing the chances of war recurring than globalising to the world market.
Yeah, we're... it's not because we're French that we think that we have a negative view of globalization. We are trade economists, and we think we believe that trade is good and brings economic gains. What we're saying is that in an era of globalization, especially for those countries which have a high risk of, for example, a bilateral war, because they've had a lot of conflicts on their borders, they have ethnic conflicts, etc., etc., it is important to accompany this globalization, meaning increasing the number of trade partners with the rest of the world, with also increasing regional trade integration and bilateral trade relations. So what we say is that at the same time that you have, for example, through WTO, multilateral trade liberalization, it is also important to further have regional trade agreements to increase these bilateral trade flows, which we find are increasing the chance of peace. So from that point of view, yes, we are a little bit against some of the message of trade economists who have a very negative view of these regional trade agreements. Usually they think it's distorting, you're distorting the relative prices, it's not always a very good idea, and usually it's better to have multilateral trade liberalization. What we're saying is that from a political point of view, it's important to have both going in the same direction, because if you only have globalization, then maybe you're increasing the risk of more violence between countries. You also need some local economic ties, some local economic trade flows to in some sense compensate some for some of the negative effect of globalization.
I wonder if you could give us one or two examples of countries that have been through wars recently and their experiences of trade subsequently.
It's difficult to find an example of two countries which, you know, liberalized trade and then may have had a risk of wars. But what we looked at is a specific experience, which are special trade preferences that the European Union is giving to the poor, to some poor countries, especially African countries. And what we find is that when those countries, African countries, are given a trade preference by the European Union, which increases their trade to the rest of the world, and especially with the European Union, but more generally with industrialized countries, indeed the risk of a war in these countries, especially African countries, increases. It's difficult to find examples of two countries that react to more trade openness, and like you see 2 or 3 years after and then a war, because many other determinants of wars we account for, poverty, obviously democracy, etc. So this is only one factor. We're not saying at all that trade is the most important factor that explains wars. It's only one of the factors, and it decreases the probability of war. There's nothing deterministic in this, obviously. It increases the probability of a war, but there's many other factors. But still, what we find is that quantitatively, it's pretty important. For example, giving these preferences that increases trade with the European Union has a large impact on the probability of a war between those two African countries, neighboring African countries.
Now, Philippe, you have a paper called "Make Trade, Not War," which is a very appealing title. But your message is kind of make trade in a certain kind of way?
Yeah, actually it's make trade not war with a question mark.
Okay.
So the ambiguity is already in the title. But indeed, what we're saying is that from a strictly political point of view, the economics might be a bit different, huh? But from a strictly political point of view, we think that more local trade ties are good, more regional trade integration are good, which is something we forgot a little bit on, in particular on Africa. There are some regional trade agreements in Africa, but in fact they are not well functioning, sometimes for good reasons. We don't have much to trade with each other. But we think that it's very important for example, for the World Bank, like an institution like the World Bank, to help those countries to have better functioning regional trade agreements. And that doesn't come only with regional trade agreements, but also with infrastructure. If you don't have roads between those countries, you won't have trade either.
And where are you going with this research program next? It sounds a very exciting area and a lot more to be looked at.
So next, the next thing we want to look at is, in some sense, the reverse question. If indeed you think that regional trade agreements are good in the sense that they lower the probability of a war between countries, and obviously, for example, if you think of the European Union in 1945, 1950, when it all started with the European Community, the obvious reason was not economic, it was political. It was, we need some trade agreements between France and Germany so that we never get back to such a terrible war. So the question we ask is, can we say something about the present regional trade agreements? Are they determined by these political reasons? Are the countries which are in a regional trade agreement today determined by the fact that they might have had some conflicts in the past? And indeed, what we find is that wars 100 years ago predict very well and positively the signing of regional trade agreements today, meaning that countries indeed sign those trade agreements not only for economic reasons, but also for political reasons. They want to tie their hands in some sense. They want to enter in a trade agreement so that in the future, especially with those countries where they have a long-term conflict, border conflict, ethnic conflicts, etc., etc., especially, for example, typically France and Germany. And those, but in Latin America also, Brazil and Argentina had some conflicts, and they signed a trade agreement, Mercosur, in part for this type of reasons, because they recognized that this was a good way to, in some sense, decrease the poverty of a war. However, what we find is that if you're sure that you're going to have a war in the next 2 or 3 years, you don't want to sign a regional trade agreement, because then it would be very costly for you. So what we find is that, in fact, past wars a long time ago have predict well positively the agreement, signing of agreements, regional trade agreements. But recent wars, think Pakistan and India, for example, obviously have a negative impact on the probability of signing a regional trade agreement, because it's very difficult and costly to tie your hand with a country with which it's very high probability that you're going to have a conflict in the next few years.
Philippe Martin, many thanks.
Thank you very much.